Now, along with that comes concept six. That was concept five, the church as one body in any given geographical place. But there's another concept that goes hand in hand with it, which is on my list as number six, and it is the restoration of New Testament eldership. This will require some special treatment later on, but simply put, in the same way that in the New Testament, the church of any given city was seen as one body, even though they met in many houses, had many pastors, many teachers, they were seen as one body. At the same time, those cities had something that is foreign to us. Those cities had a group of very mature leaders who were seen as the spiritual leaders for all the ministry in the city. That's different to what we've known. We've known denominations that have had a head office in some big city with little branch offices dotted all over the country. So the Lutherans, for example, whom I've already mentioned lovingly, and at whose renewal conference I was the speaker just two weekends ago, they have their major head office in Adelaide, but with Lutheran churches, individual little groups of Christians scattered in many cities and towns all over the nation. Anglicans have the same, Catholics the same, and Salvation Army, and so on and so forth. So with a denomination, there's a common leadership with lots of groups, but the early church wasn't like that. The early church in a city, there was a common leadership for the whole city with lots of groups in the city. This is being restored, and you will see with your own eyes in your own lifetime the rise of what we would call city elderships. This is different. Under denominationalism, there is a thing called eldership, but it's a group of leaders within a congregation. This is not biblical eldership. Every local church needs a leadership team, a passionate one. But the New Testament terminology of eldership is meant to be applied to the most fatherly, the most tested and approved senior leadership of the whole body of Christ, as long as they love each other, have joined their hearts together, they belong as one. Every church needs such, every city to be a church effectively needs such a group who become the spiritual fathers for the pastors and the teachers and the evangelists and the like working in the city. It's an entirely different picture of Christian and church harmony and unity. And all I'm saying is this is a very important concept, an essential concept of the overall reformation of the church. And it's a matter of holding all these concepts together to have a bigger picture of where this whole thing is heading. What's the other one? The seventh one. The seventh one is one that some of you are already more familiar with and concerning which I've written a whole book called The Spirit of Sonship. But along with these other concepts, we have the concept of father-son relationship in the ministry. Could I please say, this is not a tack on. This is not something just added on because we need one more. This is the core of it. If apostolic structure is the skeleton of the church, father-son relationship is the heart of the church. It is the guts of it. Without this thing in place, there is no apostolic life. Relationship is hugely important. And what we are seeing already at work in the world, I mean, when I began preaching father-son relationship in the ministry 20 years ago, on the whole, this was not being taught anywhere in the world. Wherever you're going teaching it, these were kind of new concepts. But today, all over the world, even if people don't understand apostles or apostolic reformation, all over the world, people are preaching relationships and father-son relationships in particular. Why? It is the essential building block of the entire ministry of the church. And it is a core concept to apostolic reformation. This is why my second book, after I wrote the Apostolic Reformation, I wrote The Spirit of Sonship. And this book and its concepts we'll treat in another series of lectures, but you need to know right up front that in terms of the Apostolic Reformation of the Church, it is a core concept. The Church cannot be reformed apostolically without father-son relationship in the ministry. Simply put, without father-son relationship in the ministry, that is at the leadership level of the Church, love does not filter down. There can be no basis for every believer in the Church trusting their leaders and all the believers coming into such heartfelt relationships. And there is no glue to hold the Church together relationally. Apostles come carrying this grace for father-son relationship. Apostles are meant to be not only fathers, but sons to other fathers. They carry the grace, and the grace becomes multiplied through the fivefold ministry, and this is essential glue. It is Holy Spirit glue. We've said the Church, to be an apostolic people, must be built relationally, not institutionally. Here's the glue that holds it all together. The Bible talks about being fitly and properly joined together. Well, how do you think a church made up of living stones, individual people, is ever going to be joined and held together? Go and read your Bibles. It says we're joined together by love. You'll find all of this in the later part of Ephesians chapter 4. After Paul gets talking through about gifts being given, apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers, he moves on to talk about this kind of maturity and love. And so this is the glue that is required. Otherwise, relationships don't work unless hearts are knit together in love, and it is grace from God. And so knowing how every one of us is meant to be a son in the ministry, a son in the house, walking with each other, walking with our leaders, it is essential for the Church to be built properly, and it is one of the seven essential concepts of the apostolic message relative to the reformation of the Church. So there we are. I give it to you. All of these concepts were laid out in this first book, and these I was teaching all through the 90s before writing the book in 2002. Even though the book is now that old and the revelation that it's based on now more than 20 years old, the concepts haven't shifted. It's astounding to me that I was receiving this information as I was praying and searching the scriptures by revelation from the Lord. What I was preaching then, I'm preaching now. What I wrote then is true now. It is astounding to me that even though I'm now writing other books, all these elements are still accurate, still correct. That says to me, no, we were hearing the Lord right. This really is His word. This really is what He is doing with the Church. It's just astounding. Anyway, I thank God for it. I point out a couple of things in closing. Father-son relationship is meant to be the nature of the Church and of the ministry leadership of the Church. Why? Because it is the nature of God. And we are meant to show forth the nature of God. God is this kind of God. He is a father-son God. He is a relational God. Your salvation depends on your relationship with Jesus, Jesus having reached out to you in love. The whole Church is meant to be built on that basis, and it's not the real Church if it's not. And so in the same way that it's the nature of God, it must be the nature of the Church. But that book explains it all. I should say also that non-institutional does not mean independence. Now just try and get your head around that before we quit. Just because we say we're going to be less institutionalized and we're going to walk more, in other words, we're going to be glued together. We're going to be a people. We're going to be one, but it's love and relationships of the heart that will actually glue us together properly in a way that institutions never could. So being less institutional does not mean being more independent. In fact, there were many people that were totally committed to institutions. They'd be at every meeting, they'd vote, they'd do the whole thing, but they were individually not in love with one another. there was a huge amount of control and independence. That control and independence gets washed away when you bring in the true nature of apostolic Christianity, because in its place you put real community. It's a wonderful thing, and of course we've seen that working out. I should also say this, that in working to see these changes come, as we do, in holding this out as the true expression of Christ, there has to be a lot of tolerance. You know, not everybody is necessarily yet on the same page. And none of us can afford to be judgmental. We must realize that change takes time, reform takes time. We've got to be very patient with ourselves and with other people. We've got to be tolerant, because it still comes back to the core teaching of Christ that no matter where other people are at, how they feel, what they say, we're going to offer our love, our acceptance. We must honor. These are always the principles of Christ, and they are always apostolic principles. So, friends, that's it for tonight. The main goal of our Christianity is to remember Christianity is very relational. It depends on relationships of the heart, and that means it depends on us giving our hearts to one another in love and not taking them back. You know, we're here for each other and not for ourselves, and that's what it really means to be an apostolic people. So there you are, seven essential concepts of the apostolic message. Remember what they were. A reformation is going on, and God can reform the church as and when he wishes, but it's always with purpose, and it's always moving towards the ultimate goal in history. As part of that reformation, we had what? The restoration of apostles, the restoration of the apostolic nature of Christianity, the building of an apostolic covering over the church through apostolic leadership, the rediscovery of the church as one body in any given location, the reestablishing of city elderships, and relationships of the heart at every level of church life, father-son relationships. So, all clear? This is what the Apostolic Reformation is all about. 20 years, another 20. In 20 years, we've seen huge change. Another 20 years, just think of the amount of change in your world. And you have all that to look forward to, and pray towards it. I suggest for your prayers, you be praying for the nations of the world. Evangelism more and more is spreading through the nations. Make sure your prayers, daily, some kind of prayer for the nations of the world, the advance of the kingdom, the advance of the message of Christ, the maturing of the church, and so on and so forth. Make sure that your heart is so given to the Lord that daily you're willing to pray something in agreement with him concerning the advance of the kingdom in the world. This is entirely in keeping with the Lord's Prayer, where the Lord taught us to say, you know, our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be your name. And then we get onto a first lot of requests, right? Your kingdom come. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Try and remember to include that kind of prayer in your daily prayer life.